From the Journal of Feral Amaranthe Jones.
Without the familiar cycle of the eternal storm, it is impossible for me to say how many days have passed. There is no sun or moon here. Only the glow of the lichen and the fungi guides us through the deep spire. My best guess is that all 50 of the days of the month have passed. That is, if such a thing as days exist at all. The sky did not typically bleed before. I think it would be peaceful here normally. We camped on the shores of a serene underground lake, where the walls sparkled with the rainbows refracted through massive crystals. A distant echoing through the chambers had us weary, but led us instead to majestic waterfalls, climbing upwards and out of sight. However, not even these marvels have been spared by the ugliness of the rot. About a week, I think, into our journey to find the Sister Circle, we came across the first putrid tendril. My fellow druids despaired, but with my strength restored, I made quick work of it. I feel like I am responsible for the keeping of my clan now. Once we had sealed ourselves off from the unearthly paladins of Orgalad, I was relieved to find nearly all of my clan was saved. But Grandpa Thadolf, Windcaller, no one has seen them since before the attack. Wherever the rot shows itself, it falls onto me to keep us safe now. It seems that we stop more often than ever now to clear the roads ahead of us. At some times, the infestations rivaled that of the valley the day of the attack. Left exposed to it, my clanmates fall ill. Chief Healer Adeline has enlisted Tinsy with her restoring powers to help cure the disease. Though she remains her usual light-bearing, optimistic self, I can see that she and Healer Adeline are growing tired. As more are afflicted, and with the trauma of watching her family turned against her in their unnatural undeath to process, I wonder if even Tinsy's enthusiasm has its limits. Foraging in this alien world seems impossible, yet Zealous has wholeheartedly thrown herself into ensuring our survival. She was quiet in the first few days after Lorelei's departure. Quieter. To the uninitiated, it seemed the challenge had brought her back to her old self again. Tinsy and I know better, however. She insists she's fine, yet is indifferent to Tinsy's songs and offers of hugs, and I swear I've seen her watch a spider scuttle away, sighing deeply. She usually never turns down her favorite snack. Very troubling indeed. I am worried, not just as a friend. Our caravan has reached a new impasse, a tunnel collapse. With no way through the rubble, Alpha has entrusted Zealous to find a new path forward. Her success is urgently needed. We are running low on morale, medicines, food, and energy. There are times when it feels like we're barely able to control the panic as it sweeps through our clan like an infection. I hear people weeping for the sun they say they'll never see again. As much as I try to assure my friends that we will not remain down here forever, I admit I feel like I am suffocating. Despite definitely not freaking out this entire time myself, 100%, I promise you, I have not. The countless miles of rot-permeated earth feels poised to crush us. We can't die down here. Not before Tinsy can seek revenge for her family. Not before Zealous is reunited with her love. Not before I see Mom sell another vibe purifying spray, or Sylvia finds her husband, or Steve leads another dance in the moonlight, or Onyx chases another butterfly. They can't die. I won't let them.
Chapter 6. Into the Deep Spire.
That was beautiful. It was.
It was very beautiful. I was going to say, I'm like, oh, Feral, like, grew up.
That's my Feral thinks that she's the heroine of a grand adventure voice.
Hell yes.
Zelis sits by a campfire on a large outcropping of white howlite, idly stroking Onyx, who is busy licking her paw and cleaning behind her ears. Across from them sits Alpha, the direwolf who leads the pack of displaced wolves who protect and live among the druids, formerly of Crescent Valley. After the druids had escaped from their assailants who had conspired to destroy their home, it quickly became apparent to Zelis that none of the refugees were adapting easily to living so far away from the fresh air of the surface world. She had taken it upon herself to learn everything it takes to survive in this foreign environment. Before long, she was nearly as skilled at hunting and foraging for food, building fires for warmth, and finding shelter from the strange elements and creatures of the Deep Spire as she was back on the Orgalads, where she had lived her life in the wilderness. It had been easy to throw herself into these efforts. After all, it had helped to distract her from other things. It had not taken long for Alpha to recognize Zelis' talents, and in the weeks that have passed since fleeing from the valley, he has come to respect and rely on her and Onyx as he might one of his own wolves.
Yeah,
hell yes.
Zelis, since you are talking to Alpha, I think we can assume you have already cast Speak with Animals, so can I get you to cast that?
Yes,
on your character
sheet?
While Alpha and Zelis talk strategy around the fire, a wolf scout approaches. Alpha turns his head to face her and says, "Report." "It's no good, Alpha. There don't appear to be any routes off of the road immediately around the camp. We've searched every surface in the area, even down in the ravine, but if I may offer an opinion, I believe that this road was built to remain hidden, so it may well be that the only way out of here is ahead in the circle of the deep woods." Alpha sighs. "Tell the wolves to take a short rest. I will call on you shortly. You are dismissed." The scout nods and pads away back to her pack.
Does she do like a little wolf salute?
Sure, she totally like raises her paw up to her forehead and then pads away.
Hell yes. Oh, that image in my head just makes me happy.
Alpha addresses Zelis once again. "It would appear that we have two options at this point. As there are no alternate routes in the immediate area, we can either double back and hope against hope that there is a way off of this ancient road, or..." He pauses, turning his gaze to the seemingly insurmountable pile of rubble blocking the path forward. "Or we can try to find a way through, though I fear that the collapse may run far beyond what we can see from here." He fixes his eyes back on Zelis once more. "Neither option is guaranteed to yield results, but it is important that we act quickly. I propose that we lead two groups in both efforts simultaneously. I will lead the wolves myself, and I would like to ask you to lead a group of druids as well. Would you be more comfortable leading the investigation of the collapse, or would you prefer to take a team and retrace our steps and comb the area for an alternate route?"
Choices.
No, big decisions must be made.
Choices.
I think I'll investigate the collapse.
And Onyx is just like licking her paw, and she looks up and she's like, "Okay, yeah, let's look at some rocks."
Oh my god.
Alpha nods, and the three of you stand and start going about your business. Meanwhile, Tintsy has just woken up from the same nightmare she's been having every night, though she hasn't told anybody. You open your eyes and blink until the image of Hobbsy's head sitting on the pedestal leaves your vision. And then Tintsy and the Gray Squirrel stretch and groggily make their way over to the glittering circle of stalagmites where the healers have set up to make the sick druids and animals comfortable. After checking in with the chief healer, they make their way over to the bedroll of a rock gnome named Teacher Bumby, a man who is well respected among the circle for teaching the druidic arts to the circle's youth. His face is pale and clammy, and his breathing is slow and labored, but as he hears Tintsy approach, he turns his head and opens his eyes, smiling weakly.
Oh, hello there, Chintzy dear. Are you here to take the rot out of old Bumby?
Oh, of course I am. How are you feeling, Teacher Bumby?
Oh, just peachy keen.
And then he, like, tries to sit up, but he's just... and he just lies back down. He's just like,
I'll be up before you know it.
Oh, rest more if you need to.
He looks up to you, and you may proceed with whatever healing you are going to perform.
God, let me try to remember. I have so it's been so long.
Looking through everything.
Yeah, between seasons, it's been like ages since we played.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Who's Feral?
Wait, there's a Feral in this game?
I thought the name was Feral.
You know what, guys? That was just my misspokenness in the beginning, okay? So lay on hands, which means I roll. Oh my god, it's been so long. What am I rolling?
What is a dice?
Are there going to be dragons and dungeons?
Yeah, you can either expend the number of hit points you want to heal on the person, or I think it's like 5 you can spend, and that cures diseases.
So yeah, so I remove 5.
All right, so Tinsy's hands begin to glow, and she puts them on his chest, and you feel the tension leave Bumby's body as his breathing becomes more even.
Oh, goodness me.
He takes a deep breath and lets it slowly.
Oh, that is much better. You are truly incredible. Thank you so much.
Tinsy pats his cheeks. You're okay now, right?
Oh, yes, I think I will actually be all right now.
Oh, that's good. Oh. Why don't you rest a little more?
And he begins to settle down, but his eyes open, and he seems to have something on his mind. And before you can turn to leave, he says,
"Little Lightbearer, may I ask you something?"
Of course.
I hope this question isn't invasive, so please stop me if this is too personal, but you are a forest gnome, are you not?
And Tinsy just looks down at herself. Yes. Yes, I am.
I thought you might be, but, well, I haven't seen a forest gnome for, goodness, it must be close to half a century now. I thought they were all gone. We had some wonderful forest gnomes living with us in the circle back then, but one day they all just disappeared. We searched for them for months, but even the forest gnomes' treetop villages were abandoned. I have to know what happened to your people.
What? Wait, what?
And he sees the look of shock on your face, and he says,
Oh my goodness! Oh goodness, I'm so sorry. Did you not know?
No, I have... It's been a long time since my family, and I've really just been with the Order for so long. I've never really thought about this. Have I really not seen any?
You rack your brain, and you can barely remember anything before living in Ocean Roost. But everyone you knew in the Cutesy Cutters was either a rock gnome or there was Viscera, who was a halfling. Even in the Order of Orgala, you were the only gnome of any kind. And maybe you were just upset with your family and you never asked about it.
Oh my god!
It seems so strange that, now that he's mentioning it, that you've never encountered another forest gnome.
Teacher Bumby, how long ago was this?
Oh, goodness. At least 40 years, I'm quite sure. I remember waking up one day and excuse me. I remember it was quite a commotion. We looked and looked. We even got the aid of a man from the Order of Orgalad. He led a lot of the search efforts, but We never found anything. We may have even been searching for a few years.
I don't know what happened. When the last time I remember seeing my parents, we were in town and they just disappeared. I don't know what happened.
Oh, I'm so sorry. When was this?
Almost 40 years ago, too.
Oh.
He's got a concerned look on his face, but he does look like he's starting to get pretty tired at this point.
Tinsy puts her hand on his hand.
Teacher Bumpy, for now, just rest. Thank you for this.
And Chief Healer Adeline approaches with Feral in tow, and he looks down to Bumpy with a warm smile on his face. Hello, teacher. How good to see color returning to your face.
Oh, thanks to the little light bearer.
And Bumpy pats the hand that you've put on his hand.
No, my heart.
Friend, let us continue this conversation another time. Old Bumpy needs to get some rest so he can make himself useful again.
Oh, my heart.
Adeline leads Tintsy, Feral, and, of course, the Gray Squirrel away from the resting patients. Alpha has requested your services. Zealous has been tasked with leading an investigation to find a path forward, and Alpha would like the three of you to join her team since you are friends of hers.
Oh my god. I, like, really gingerly, like, touch Alpha's, like I want to pet him.
Oh, sorry, Alpha isn't present right now.
Every single time I think I'm gonna get to pet or ride a dire wolf, he's never there.
No, it's Adeline has told you that that Alpha has requested the two of you to, three of you, including the Gray Squirrel, to join Zealous's team.
The little light bearer at your service.
I will also. me too, yeah.
Oh, so close. So close, Feral.
All right. Zealous, is there anybody else you would like to recruit for your team?
You know, my mind went to Lorelai, and then I had to rethink that she's not around anymore.
Such a broken heart.
So, not that I can specifically think of.
All right.
What about the babies? What about the baby pups? They, like, dominated.
Yeah. If they were anywhere, they probably went with the wolf group.
True. Okay, rude.
Exactly. True.
I think it would have been great if it was Feral, Zealous, and Tintsy going on an adventure with a bunch of babies.
And druids.
A bunch of babies and pups. Or I guess there's technically one baby and mostly pups.
Yeah.
That would have been too happy.
Yeah.
Well, fortunately,
was it Chonkers?
Well, since Zealous did volunteer to investigate the collapse, if you find a reason that you need more people, you're not far away from the camp, so you'll be able to come back and get people if you want.
Well, Tintsy would like to say, we are always enough.
Yeah, well, I mean, the three of you have gotten through some scraps together before.
Barely falling on our faces, but barely.
Was that you throwing up, Tessa?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
Tinty and Nancy does not appreciate that.
All right. Well, as the three of you and the Gray Squirrel.
Just say the four of
okay,
you.
Okay, as the four of you, five of you including Onyx.
Yes.
Yeah, don't forget Onyx.
Zealous's team.
True.
As Zealous's team approaches the collapse, you have a pretty wide area to look over, and lots of rubble, earth, dirt. You could probably delegate different people to look at different sections of the collapse at the same time. What I would probably get you each to do is choose what section you want to look at. So left, center, or right, and then top, center, or bottom.
Okay.
So basically you've got like nine areas you can choose. So each one of you can pick a different part of this collapse to investigate.
Can I do some kind of perception to see if there's a safe way up to the top of it?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead and give me a perception roll.
Okay. Let me just get to my perception because I do not remember.
I love that accent.
I know, right? I feel so rusty.
I feel like I should have, like, I don't know. Studied? Ooh, see, 14 plus my perception is 7, so 21.
Excellent. Damn. Yeah. So Feral scans over the rubble, and she's able to quickly spot out a series of larger rocks that you feel quite confident that any one of you in your party would be able to climb up on without disturbing any of the other rubble and causing it to slide down. And you should be able to climb all the way up to the sort of ceiling of the tunnel that you're going through, as well as accessing the sides from there.
Shotgun to the top of the pile! I'm going to climb up. Is there a way of seeing what general area the rocks collapsed in from?
It looks like it probably was from the center or maybe the left a little bit, but...
Okay, I'm going to go to the center.
Okay.
And, yeah, I guess I'll roll investigation before I do anything else.
Yeah, well, I'll have,
Okay.
I'll have Tintsy and, Zealous choose where they want to investigate as well.
So, I have a question. How tall, again, is it for the,
I would say, like, 5 or 6, yards up where the collapse is.
Okay. I'll choose maybe right.
Okay, and then the top, center, or bottom?
I'll go top since I'm the tallest, I think, or out of
all of us. I will do center left.
Okay, perfect. Can I get all three of you to roll investigation for me?
Yes.
Yep.
Rolling! How does one roll again?
So I have 15 plus 3, so 18.
18?
Yeah.
16 plus 2, so I also have 18.
Okay.
Oh god, did you roll really bad?
Kinsey strikes again?
Oh my god. 2 plus 1? So 3.
Alright.
Oh no! It's already all starting right, really well, eh? Go, Tensi.
Zealous and Feral, you've both climbed up to the top using the large rocks that Feral was able to spot out, and you're moving rocks aside. Onyx is hopping from rock to rock and sort of sniffing along and helping out Zealous. And meanwhile, Tintsy is a little bit lower, farther down to the left, sort of investigating near the wall. And she thinks she detects an airflow coming out from the walls. And the squirrel notices it too and starts jumping up and down with excitement. And like before you can stop yourself, you like excitedly pull out a rock.
No.
And it causes a bunch of the other rocks to slide down. And Tintsy, all three of you, can I get you to roll dexterity?
Oh, freak.
It's not a major collapse. It's just a few rocks sliding. So no
literally,
one's going to...
Literally, we were on there for 5 seconds.
Yes, it was 20 plus 1.
It was technically my first roll as well. Oh, thank God.
Actually, you've been investigating for about 15 minutes before Tintsy noticed this rock.
Thank you. Thank you. And it was dexterity?
5 plus 3, 8.
Yeah. Okay.
21. 20 plus 1.
Oh, hey.
But I made up with it because I'm saving my own hide. I'm sorry.
So, Tintsy, you pull out this rock and you're immediately just like, shouldn't have done that.
Whoops! Shouldn't have done that.
And like before any rocks even start falling, you just like leap back as far as you can, and like clutching the gray squirrel, and like watch some rocks begin to slide. And Feral, who's just begun to discover something, like rock just slips right out from under her feet, and she just kind of eats shit.
No. Sorry.
I'm gonna get you to roll 1d6 for damage.
No.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. Oh, sorry. No.
Better not be my face that gets hurt.
Oh. That's a 4.
That's a 4.
Your beauty's not in your face. It's inside you.
Zealous and Onyx managed to leap to the side and land on a rock that is a bit more stable. Just before she fell, Feral did hold onto this one rock and she like sort of yanked it as she was falling, and Zealous, you sort of peek into the hole where this rock was before,
mm-hmm.
and you notice that there is actually, you'd have to clear the way a little bit, but there does seem to be a path along the ceiling where you could safely move some rocks aside, but, like, everyone going through there would have to be comfortable with crawling.
Oh. Can I go investigate that and climb back up and kind of investigate that again? Or, like, see if I can...
You're still up near the top. So.
Okay.
And the other two of you, you can go up there now and look at that if you like as well.
Tinsy doesn't know if she wants to risk going up there after what happened. No, she'll go up there.
The rocks have all settled at this point, and, like, as long as you're careful, you should be able to climb up safely.
It's not the environmental that I'm worried about. It's Seamus and Feral I'm worried about. Tinsy, like, talks to the gray squirrel. Hey, do you want to go check up there for me to see if it's okay? It's okay for me to go up? Are they mad?
And he, like, hops up onto the rocks and climbs up and goes over, like, a meter or so away from Feral, and just sort of, like, anxiously wringing his hands, looking at her.
Do I have, like, any damage to me at all? Visible?
You've got, like, a little bruise on your cheek. Well, you think it's going to bruise.
I'm a little annoyed, but honestly, I'll just probably tell everybody that I got it while trying to save somebody from, like, I don't know, like a scorpion or something cool.
All right, I'm assuming the squirrel came down and told me, so I'm like, coming!
Yeah, no, the squirrel's still up there on the rock, but he's, like, facing you and jumping up and down, like,
Dinsy puts her thumbs up. Oh, awesome, okay, coming!
I want to cast Detect Poison and Disease.
Oh!
I want to see if there's any presence of the rot or anything associated to it somewhere in there.
Like, farther in?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Can you read out the details of the spell to me?
Yeah. For the duration, you can sense the presence and locations of poisons, poisonous creatures, and diseases within 30 feet. You can also identify the kind of poison, poisonous creature, or disease. The spell can penetrate most barriers, but it is blocked... Ah, shit, are you kidding? By 1 foot of stone, 1 inch of common metal, 1 sheet of lead, or 3 feet of wood or dirt. Okay, never mind. Backtracking.
That's okay. Well, you raise your hand and then you, like, remember that you probably won't be able to detect that far in, so you lower your hand and nobody noticed anything.
I just sigh deeply.
I want to kind of turn to the gray squirrel and be like, hey, can you, like, go in there and just check it out if it's all okay? Like, all safe, you know? Kind of just make sure.
The squirrel cocks his head and looks at you derpily as he doesn't understand what you're saying.
Oh, he can't understand me even with talk with animals?
Your speak with animals has worn off by now.
Oh, yeah. Then I'll turn to Tinsy and be like, hey, can you, ask him to go in there and just, like, check it all out?
Yeah, for sure.
And he hops up to the hole and his, like, tail sort of just, like, does that thing where it, like, quivers and stops a few times as he's just, like, observing the darkness farther ahead. But then he scampers off ahead and you guys wait for a few minutes and eventually he comes back and his fur actually looks a little bit damp. But he shakes himself off and says, which you understand to mean, we seem to be able to move forward. There might be some danger of rocks, but I think that we can mostly climb on top of the collapse. But there's a big flooded area ahead.
Can I interrupt for a second? Didn't he have, like, a super epic voice?
That's if you... So for Tinsy, she's communicating with the squirrel by making just, like, clicks and, like, little chittering noises. So this is sort of how she imagines his voice in her head. But the deep, manly voice is if you actually, like, speak squirrel, you know, like...
Hey, his, heroic side comes out during that time.
Hell yeah.
Just like Pharaoh, she's not panicking.
Relatable.
But yes, he has informed you that it does seem that you will be able to climb over the collapse somewhat, but there is a flooded area ahead.
So yeah, he said that there's water, and we should be able to get through, but there's water. Lots of water. But not too much water, but enough water. But not too much. Water. Yeah.
Like, how much water is enough water?
Like, we could go over it, but there's still water there, you know?
Okay.
Zealous, I feel like, is just, like, kind of, like, looking at this conversation, like... just so annoyed.
The word is flooding! There's a flood.
Well, let's. And she just like goes and just kind of like crawls through and sees if she can get through. She's like done with conversation. She's almost like, I'm done.
All right.
Is she able to fit?
It's very tight for you, Zealous, and every now and then you do have to stop and like carefully push rocks out of the way. Can I get you to make a strength check?
Yeah.
Can I assist her by pushing from behind?
You know what? Sure, go ahead.
On what are you pushing?
Do I roll a d20 as well?
Yes.
I could have reminded both of them that I can turn into a snake, but this is way too entertaining.
So I got a 19 plus 1, so 20.
Oh, you don't even need me. I got a 12 plus 2, so 14.
I wanted to know, though.
14 on butt push.
Yeah, what are you pushing?
You.
So you're pushing my butt?
Yeah, 100%.
Nice. Nice.
100%.
All right, well, like you make your way through, Zealous, leading the way, and there are a few points where you push large boulders aside. You can see in a couple cases that like a rock would have fallen and hit your head, but you're able to predict it before it happens and put your hand up and direct that rock away from you so it's not going to harm you or anyone following you. And you are the largest person crawling through this tunnel right now, so the people crawling behind you, you know, Onyx, Tinsy, Feral, and of course Grayskull, they don't have too much issue climbing behind you. And eventually, it's a little difficult to see, but this room that you're coming out into is still illuminated by the same moss and fungi that have been glowing and illuminating your path the whole way down the secret road. And you see a large chamber, not quite as big as the secret chamber back from Crescent Valley, but you see a decently large chamber, and you recognize the Sword of Life, not the actual sword, but you what would you call it? Basically a statue of the Sword of Life sticking up out of the water. This whole room is flooded. It's got about 3 yards deep of water, and the water comes up to about halfway up this statue of the sword. And the sword looks climbable. It's the outlines of the sword are made of solid stone, but there's sort of a wire or mesh or something connecting it. And just like the Sword of Life emblem that you saw on the large gate back in the secret room, you see 4 slots. And as you look down through the water, you see 4 similar pedestals, again, with discs to insert into these slots.
Tinsy starts, like, slapping your guys' legs. Oh my gosh! Guys! Guys! Ow, guys! Ow, do you ow, see that?
Ow. Oh, yeah, I see it.
Oh my gosh!
Well, I guess we should get to it then.
Yeah, it's snake time!
It's over to Feral.
Hey, you think Zealous is okay?
Do you think I should, like, ask her?
No, that's gonna end both of us!
maybe, do you think she has a particular, like, I don't know, like, affinity for this kind of thing? You know, like, if she seems really happy about it, maybe that means she'll be okay?
I guess so. Okay, we should probably get going.
Okay.
And I, like, just look over at Zealous and put a thumbs up.
Zealous just kind of, like, sighs and, like, gets back to, like, trying to figure it out again, or, like, trying to put everything together.
I was waving at her.
She kind of just looks at you and just like dead stares, like.
She's like a brooding teen right now.
Yes.
She's like, Clement
took my girlfriend away, okay?
She's like listening to like My Chemical Romance and like writing in her like her blog about like love and how horrible it is
MySpace.
And her how her like her endless black hole of a heart will never find love again.
I wonder what the world's fire My Chemical Romance would be. I would love to see that.
Oh, I need this to happen.
Yeah.
This whole secret here, you need to make music of world's fire My Chemical Romance.
Yeah.
But instead of like chemical, it would be like My Alchemical Romance.
Oh,
My Alchemical Romance. Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. So Titsy goes up to the pedestals. Is the statue as big as the one that we saw?
So it's a little smaller, maybe 2/3 of the size. And do bear in mind that these pedestals are all underwater. Like you'd have to dive down to reach them. It looks as though the water level has risen in this room because of the collapse. It's not able to flow out from this room anymore.
Was it the collapse before or Tinsy's collapse?
Yeah, you don't think that it would have flooded this quickly. It took you maybe 10 minutes to get to this room, 10 minutes of crawling over the collapse. But no, it probably wasn't you.
Okay. But we noticed that the pedestals are inside the water?
Yeah, you're able to see them illuminated by the moss.
Oh, is the snake one illuminated?
You look towards it, and as you, I believe, suspect, that particular disc is cracked in half.
I turn over to Feral. So Feral, do you think you can turn into like a teeny tiny snake or smaller than before? And like do your head thing inside the thingy again?
Like a little water snake?
Yeah!
Oh, sorry. Sorry, the sword is smaller, but the slots are about the same size.
Oh. Feral, like, sorry,
that was my bad.
Okay. Oh, hold on. Okay. Then instead, Tizzy's gonna point at the snake one. I told you it wasn't me. It was broken before. That one's broken too.
I'm just gonna ignore her.
Even Zelis is just like watching all this go down, and she's so tired. She's just like, why?
I don't know how to handle a brooding Zelis.
Oh my.
Okay, so I think we should find everything else first, because I don't know how long I can hold my breath. Like, it's been a while since I've done something like that. And I don't know, like, can snakes breathe underwater? I haven't tried it.
I don't know.
If you're a water snake, I think you can.
Like an eel?
I mean, I don't know much about snakes. They're just really good to test snacks.
Oh.
I'm gonna ignore that too.
Feral, don't turn into a snack.
So, Azealus is gonna try and get, like, the... I already forgot the word.
The pedestal? Discs?
Discs, oh, yeah. Yes. That's what it is.
Is it the same... Like, you probably said it, sorry. It's the same figures on the discs, is it?
You're a little high up, and, like, the surface of the water is a little ripply. So it's difficult to tell from above the water. You can guess which one is probably the snake because it's cracked in half, visibly. The two sides have fallen apart from each other. So that would be Tinsy's best guess. But you're not able to see what's on the discs from here.
Well, should we dive in?
Yeah, let's try and hold our breaths.
I asked that in a Tinsy voice. You need to respond back in the Zealous voice.
Oh, sorry, I couldn't differentiate.
Yeah.
Sure. No, I just... yeah, sure. Totally.
Oh. I turn over to Pharaoh. After this, we need to find some monsters for Zealous to kill. I think that'll make her feel better.
Yeah, maybe.
I feel like Zealous overhears this and just pops a little bit of a smile, like...
Yeah, monster killing.
Yeah. Like the okay. derpiest face.
Alright, so who was gonna die first? Or, I mean, I guess.
I guess I can turn into Snake Rill.
Yeah.
Is that what we're gonna call her? Snake Rill? Have we had this conversation yet?
I don't think we have.
No, but I'm totally for it.
So, just to repeat, the water level comes about halfway up the sword, and if you wanted to climb up to the top slot, you'd probably want to do that in your half-elf form.
Oh, that's right, it's not underwater. I was going to get all excited and, like, dive and figure out if I'm a water snake or not. but I guess well, I'll climb. Again?
What's that?
It was snake, dragon, birch, and then whale, right?
That's right, you got it.
Oh, memories!
Damn!
Okay. can I investigate or... perceive things with my peepers to see if the water is safe?
Yeah, the water all looks quite clear. Like, it looks like nobody has been here for who knows how many years or centuries or millennia. Who knows?
Tinsy's gonna start taking off her armor to dive into the water.
Okay. And then Zealous, I assume you're just diving in as you are?
I guess so, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, okay. So I feel like Zealous, or she, you know... Sorry, I just had an entire thing. So, I feel like she would be the type that, even though she's very, like, tough and everything, I feel like she puts her mask kind of in her nose to block her nose when she dives.
Just stuffs it a little bit.
You know, people who, like, hold their nose closed, and they say,
She just pushes her scarf up into her nose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. There's, like, a special knot that's in it that acts as, like, a nose plug.
Yes, exactly. All
right. Well, I will get the two of you to do swimming checks, which I guess athletics would be what to do for that.
Yeah.
And, I don't need to use shapeshifting. Be the snake, right?
No, that's right. You don't have to use up your wild shape to be a snake.
Okay.
Oh, dang, guys!
So I have 12 plus 4, so 16.
16, okay. And Tinsy?
16 plus 5.
Yay!
21.
So Zealous is like stuffing her scarf into her nose and like just past her, Tinsy just does a beautiful swan dive into the water and like almost like a waterfowl just glides down to the bottom of the room and up under one of the discs and kicking her little feet brings it back up to the surface. And as you're treading water, you take a look at it, and it appears to be, it's a little faded. You think the water may have worn away the image of it, but you can still tell that it's the image of a birch tree.
Ooh.
I give that, like, 10 points. There was, like, no splash or anything.
On these! I've had lots of practice.
Good job.
What?
Wait. Good job.
Oh, Tinsy just like Tinsy almost drops the disc because she's so excited. She's like,
so I'll go ahead and dive then.
Yes. So, having seen Tinsy do this beautiful dive and your nose now secured away from water, you sort of like belly flop into the water.
Bigger than waves.
There's like pretty big ripples, like Tinsy. You're just kind of like wee as the wave goes past you.
It's a wave pool.
But Zealous, you kick your way down and you grab one of the discs and you bring it back up to the surface and you take a look at it and it is again worn away, sort of like the one that Tinsy's holding, but it appears to have the image of a dragon on it.
Oh.
Accurate.
Does she have, like, an internal crisis as she looks down into it?
Yeah, I feel like anytime she sees, like, a dragon or, like, just a dragon in general, she's just gonna be, like, looking back and thinking back to the conversation with the dragons and be like, shit.
It's like, right, I made a deal with them.
Yeah.
Tinsy will dive in for the third.
All right. So I assume that with this same roll, we're good to just say you succeed.
Yeah. Okay.
And probably that you also put the disc along. Like, I don't want to belabor this puzzle you've already solved too much.
Yeah.
But basically, Feral, you watch as they dive down a couple times and grab the discs and put them in the correct slots, which, thank you, Nancy, for reciting earlier. Otherwise, I would have made you recall them.
Tintsy's got you, guys.
Hell
yes.
Tintsy finally puts the whale into the bottom and comes back up to the surface, and it's up to you now to climb up to the top.
Okay. I do that.
All right. She does that, and then...
you don't want me to, like, do any rolls or anything.
The mesh looks like it was made to be easy to climb.
Okay.
It's within your physical ability.
Okay.
So you climb up to the topmost slot near the tip of the sword, and once again, just like back in Crescent Valley, you turn yourself into a snake, and you sort of, like, have to, like, sort of throw yourself over a little bit.
Like kind of like an inchworm?
Yeah, it's like basically you're climbing what is kind of like a ladder, and so since you are now discarding your arms, you need to sort of flop yourself over a little bit.
I try with my teeth at first.
Sorry?
I try with my teeth at first.
Well, as soon as you assume your snake form, you feel that same draw, that sense of familiarity with this top slot, and you...
I really start gnawing on those ladder rungs. Need to get up there.
Yeah. Oh, no, you're up. You're good.
Okay.
You curl up in the slot just like you did last time, and you all feel a wave of energy go through, and this waterfall that was on the far side of the room flowing down, on the far side of the room away from the collapse, the waterfall slows to a stop. And then begins moving upwards, back up the slope away from you.
Damn!
When the surge of energy hits me, I feel like I'm probably like, "Whoa!"
Tintsy starts hitting Zealous again. Oh gosh! Look!
Zealous just looks down at you, looks back up. It's like, okay, so how are we gonna tell Alpha that we got something? Someone needs to go back down or tell him or something.
And I look over at the gray squirrel.
Well, you look up at the gray squirrel because he's like sort of sitting on top of your head at this point. He's been swimming along, like he hasn't been able to dive down, but he's been sort of following you along in the water, and then like sort of getting tired, and then just sitting on your head anytime you come up for air just to take a break. So he's riding up on your head now.
I reach up and like give his cheeks a little scratchy scratchies.
I'm trying to imagine a squirrel swimming.
Adorable.
It's like dog paddling.
It is adorable.
Tail flopping a little bit.
Do you think its tail, like all the fur, would just kind of like float majestically?
Yeah, like sort of off to the sides a little
bit.
I'm kind of imagining like the gray squirrel doing like a doggy paddle and then like flipping around and like just kind of like laying on his back with his like hands crossed over, but like whenever he's swimming, he's like doggy paddling.
Ooh, like his tail was like kind of like a propeller.
Yeah, just like he's like floating with his hands behind his head.
Yeah.
Just like, this is the life.
Yes, exactly.
I say propeller tail.
Sorry?
Propeller tail.
None of you noticed this, but like as one moment he's floating on his back, and like as a casual observer would probably just see him like looking super relaxed, but he's having deep thoughts of longing for his family. Thinking of his wife and children.
Oh, my heart.
If only they could also be here.
They're so far away.
Paddling on their backs.
That's right.
Oh, that's so sad.
This will be his new vacation home.
Yeah. Well, I doubt he's going to want it to be his vacation home.
He's going to put a tiny little, like, birdhouse somewhere on the shore.
Make it a squirrel house.
All right, so the waterfall has just begun flowing upwards. What shall you guys do now?
So
look at it and go, wow.
Wow. In the own Wilson voice.
Oh, sorry. I can't do it as a Tintsy trying to imitate someone else.
No, I really wanted to hear it.
I can't do it. I'm sorry to sound like Waluigi.
So the gray squirrel is going to tell... Alpha?
Oh, yeah. So I look up the gray squirrel and I look over at you, Zealous.
Sure. Totally.
Okay.
Cool.
So, like, I reach up and, like, scratchy his cheeks. Do you think you can let everyone know what's happening over here?
And he, like, salutes and he's just like, gray squirrel on duty.
Before he goes, I give him a kiss on the top of the head.
And he, like, sort of, like, rubs his forehead on you.
Oh, God.
That's so
But he'd be safe.
I'm really sorry to everybody who's listening to this podcast who ate a full meal and are now voiding it due to the cute.
I'm sorry. If you don't love, if you have an issue with the love that I have for my friend, you need to have a conversation with yourself, Feral.
All right, so the three of you, I assume, are going to swim up to the waterfall?
Hell yeah.
Do you think snakes can do a belly flop?
Well, you find out very quickly that, yes, snakes can do a belly flop into water.
But to you guys, it just kind of looks like I suddenly just...
There's a large slap.
Zealous does a little chuckle like...
Are you going to stay as a snake then?
Yeah, for now.
Nice.
But I'm all belly, though.
Yeah.
Do you think that would hurt?
It stings a little bit, but it's not too bad.
Okay.
It wasn't a super far fall anyway, so.
Okay.
Feral, you okay there?
I'm all good. Yeah. And then I try to do a thumbs up with my tail.
Yeah, the little curling.
Tinsy's not sure what that meant, so she goes over and she goes, boop, and it pokes your tail.
Feral, you find that it's not too hard to swim. You can tell pretty quickly that you are not an aquatic animal, but you're able to swim pretty easily on the surface of the water and holding your head up. The three of you swim up to the waterfall, and it carries you gently up this slope. And eventually, you find yourself in a large chamber, and it's almost identical to the hidden chamber in Crescent Valley, with the same gate which you are coming up through. The same four pedestals, presumably if somebody was trying to get to Crescent Valley from where you are, they would have to do the same puzzle you guys did. And the only real difference here between this chamber and the one from Crescent Valley is that instead of having the stone sliding door on the opposite end of the room from where you are currently, there is a stone staircase leading upwards, which seems to be largely crumbled, but still serviceable. However, before you can't see what's above this staircase because a large sheet of metal is laid over top of the staircase, blocking you from seeing anything outside of this chamber.
Can I investigate?
Yeah, by all means, go up and take a look.
Okay, let's see.
Is this sheet of metal... common metal, and is it more than 1 inch thick?
you're not able to tell how thick it is from this side, from underneath it, rather.
So okay. I got 15 plus 3 investigations, so 18.
18?
Yeah.
All right. So how exactly are you investigating this? Are you like...
I am going to lick it.
Oh, Zealous.
Yeah. You know,
I feel like taste is a big factor, and she's going to sniff it. Yeah, I think that's a good combination.
I am stuck between a snake that wants to eat everything and a dragonborn that wants to lick everything.
Well, it's like, you know, like when you're in the wilderness, how else are you going to investigate if there's nothing more that you can see with your eyes? You're going to taste it.
I mean, you could touch it, you could try pushing on it.
Oh, true.
I mean, no, you already said you're going to lick it, though, so you're licking it.
Yeah.
Well, you give it a good look, and it tastes very metallic.
Yeah. Tinsy in the background's going, Zealous, no!
And then me with my snake brain, and I'm like, wow, that's such a great idea. Hang on, I'm coming with you.
Yes.
Try to snake, like, but it's smelling, so it's not as weird.
Well,
Zealous and Feral.
Feral and Zealous are very well aware that this is indeed metal. Feral, it strikes you as a little odd to see metal, just because maybe it's different in this druid circle, but back where you're from, some druids have this idea that metal is very unnatural, even though there's naturally occurring metal. But, like, metal has this association for being you know, a thing of industry and a thing of man's world outside of nature. So a lot of them will just avoid, a lot of druids will just avoid metal on principle, and then the rest of the druids basically avoid it to not get into debates with those druids.
So what you're saying is that this, like, taste of metal I'm getting right now is, like, very sinful and guilty.
Yeah, kind of.
But, like, kind of pleasurable because of it?
Oh my god. Okay.
I mean, you tell me. Like, I don't know what goes on in your mind.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I'm definitely very interested, but then again, I've been to the city.
Yeah.
So this isn't a huge deal to me.
I mean, yeah, you know, I mean, what metal is by all
not
means.
Not to me, but, like, this is interesting.
All right, well, Tinsy, as the only one not licking the metal, what would you like to do?
Yes, I would like to see if I could push on, or no, actually, I would like to knock on it.
Okay.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you give it a knock.
I hiss. It's scary.
And it has a very reverby, deep, like, boom, boom, as you knock. And yeah, you hadn't really noticed the sounds before, but, like, you notice a sudden silence. And as you listen carefully, Zealous, I'm using your roll of 18 for this because I couldn't give you anything for licking.
Yeah,
totally. But Zealous, you listen closely up against the metal, and you hear some murmuring voices up above.
Oh.
You hear footfalls on the metal above you, accompanied by the muffled sound of puzzled voices, and then one voice raises above the rest, shouting some instructions, and you hear a few pairs of feet running away from the area above. And after a few minutes, you hear the feet return, and soon the metal above you shifts slightly, and you...
Tinsy takes out her sword.
You hear rivets being loosened, and then the plate begins to rise.
Oh, shoot.
No, Tinsy takes out her sword and shield.
I take out both of my short swords.
I'm just a snake.
Is your tongue still on the metal as it starts shifting? Is your tongue like...
It didn't get stuck to the metal like when it entered, right?
No, it was fairly warm, so your tongue did not get stuck to the metal.
Okay, thank God.
Otherwise, you and Zealous would both be pulled up.
And that was how the first contact was made.
Bright moonlight spills into the chamber as the heavy metal plate is lifted away. Or, no, not moonlight. As your eyes adjust, you see that the light is being cast from trees that hang upside down from the cavern ceiling high above you, and the light is refracted through the tree trunks and branches, which almost appear to be made out of glass. You hear quiet murmuring and whispers from above, but no face appears above the hole to look down at you.
Oh. Wait, oh, I know. Okay, I got it.
Yes, please, Diplomat Zealous.
So I want to throw my spoiled cloud sheep milk up there and see what happens.
I see you have read your inventory. Yes.
We didn't drink it in time.
No, we didn't.
That's right. You guys have been traveling for a month and nobody touched their cloud sheep. Yeah. Milk and asparagus came to you.
I forgot about the cloud sheep.
Oh, do we smell?
Okay, so Zealous, you're going to chuck your milk up there.
Yes, but like in the jar, not loose, just to see if there's any like booby traps or anything. So, here.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, let me just pull up what that item will do.
I would like to say, when you take it out to throw it, Tinsy just looks over, ew, why do you guys like this?
When did you go in and change it to spoiled cloud sheep?
Sometime over the last month or so.
Oh, oh, it's more effective than as a weapon than a beverage.
Oh, no. Wait, no. No! If thrown, the bottle will shatter, dealing 1d4 piercing damage on impact and an additional 2d6 poison damage!
10-foot radius?
All right, well,
no!
Well, Zealous hucks the bottle up and out of the hole, and you just hear, huh?
Zealous!
And you just see, like, a sort of greenish plume.
No!
Oh, no!
This is the Kraken all over again!
And you hear a bunch of coughing and hacking, and, like, a few people just, like, Garsori! Kabalaya! And you hear some armor moving, and suddenly a few guards appear up at the top of the hole. And they're holding up tall shields and bladed staves pointed towards all of you.
Is there a Wewine spell? Does anybody have a spell to go
with? No! There isn't!
So, the guards that you can see, they have their weapons pointed at you, and you take them in very quickly. Their tunics and shields bear a purple and red geometric crest, which features a large diamond shape that stretches downwards like a teardrop, and several more diamond shapes extend from its bottom, branching downwards and outwards, almost resembling roots.
And you got diamond trees? Ugh!
One guard steps forward, sword and shield still raised, and says, "Parkad Korsgaran, Kosali Paddy."
Zelas.
I don't know. I'm sorry.
I wave my tail at them. I try to look very friendly as a snake. I forget I'm a snake.
I just say, "I'm sorry. I don't know what your language."
We're still on the stairs, right?
Yeah. The guards are sort of surrounding the hole above you, and one of them's like stepped forward a little bit.
Okay. And I have my shield out, right? Like I took out my sword and shield, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like before all this, right? Tinsy's gonna have her like shield, because I'm assuming I have the shield above us. I'm gonna just like peek behind it and just be like, and just kind of like wave with my sword.
All right. Well, as you peek above your shield, you get your first glimpse of these guards. Who, out of the three of you, Tinsy, you're the only one who's ever personally known a dwarf before, and you recognize that these guards are dwarves. You had a dwarven friend in the Order of Orgelad, but seeing that you're unable to understand them, the guard says, "Oh, this is surfacers, druids."
You know the common tongue?
Little bit.
And I point over at this, at like feral druid.
And I wave my tail back, like, "Hi, yes, I'm druid."
And he turns his head over his shoulder and says, "Impadi." And you hear some murmuring among the crowd. And he turns back to you and raises his weapons and takes a step back up to the top and says, Druids follow."
Wait, we got people waiting for us? Or like, maybe we're, like, waiting. Wait, do we send the squirrel back? I can't remember.
Yeah, the gray squirrel went back earlier.
Wait, are you talking to them as a snake?
You're still a snake.
Do they understand?
Oh, can anyone understand me?
Nobody makes any signs of recognition as you...
Wait, but Zelas and...
Tinsy can understand you a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're still waiting. We're still waiting on, like, the squirrel, right? Should we go?
No, I don't think so. And, like, Tinsy tries to, like, move her, like, she still has her soul... her sword and shield, but she's like trying to do like a big circle to be like, more of us, more druids,
more druids.
Yeah, we have to wait. And she points down to like the ground and like tries to like is squatting to try to show like her sitting. She has no idea how to do this, so she's like trying to like squat at the stair to show like she has to sit and wait.
How many druids?
How many druids?
Oh my gosh!
How many do we have?
So, Feral, the Circle of Crescent Valley is renowned amongst the surface world for being like one of the largest druid circles in the world spire. It's nearly 200 druids.
Okay. So like roughly 200
plus animals.
Plus animals. Oh, shit. Should I poof back into my form? No, wait. No. What if I need to go get them? I'll be faster.
A lot? plus animals.
And then you flash your fingers, like, 20 times?
Yeah. That's like this many. Well, Tinsy is, Tinsy's going to actually just, oh, no, hold on, no. Because she has her sword and shield. Because I still don't trust them not to hurt me. I'm going to, like, nudge Zealous. Zealous, show them 200 with your fingers.
Here's the thing.
That would require her counting.
How do I do that? I don't know, like, how to count.
Oh no. Here, just hold my shield.
And also,
hold my sword.
How do we know that they're okay with druids?
I try to pass over, even though Zealous has two swords in her hand, I try to pass her my sword.
But wait, how do we know that they're okay with druids? Like, they won't just kill us all when they know how many druids we are?
He's just watching you guys talking back and forth. He's just like, you come now. We wait for druids.
Friend?
Friend.
That didn't sound very confident.
Like, and I, like, I'm still holding my sword because she wouldn't take it. So I pointed at myself with my own sword and then pointed at him. Friend?
And he's, like, struggling for words. He's like, you are not here to attack?
No attack. And then, like, she takes Zealous's hand. Wait, you have both swords in your hand?
Yeah, I have my short swords in my hand.
Okay, so it said, Tinsy, with her sword, and she wraps her arms around, like, Zealous. Friend! Not attack!
And as she does that, Zealous just kind of, like, shakes her leg, like, what the hell is she doing? Like, get off!
I hug them, too.
Get off me. What are you doing? Stop.
I hug them. I also hug them.
So she's just wrapped around us, too?
Yeah, but, like, in a very sweet way. Aww. Like, I don't want them to look at the snake and be like, oh, that's a good snake.
Are you going to put, like, your snake head between, like, our heads?
Yeah. And I'm going to blink my eye. Do snakes blink?
They lick their eyes, I think.
So I have a gross, like, crocodile-style film that just, like... closes over the eye.
I'm not a snake expert, but I think so.
One at a time.
Oh, everyone's looking it up now.
Yep.
Sorry. Yes.
I thought you guys were like just done with my shit or something.
They don't blink because they don't have eyelids. Each eye is covered with a single clear eye scale. So yeah.
Oh.
So they like lick their eyes or
no? So they have a like they're just covered with a single clear eye scale. So they don't need to blink. Okay. It's always moist.
Oh, it's just always protected underneath.
Yeah.
Oh, no, snakes have bad eyesight.
Yeah.
Oh, no. No, don't tell him that.
Because they have to shed... Oh, because you have to shed your eye scales.
Oh, God. has that happened yet?
Well, dude, you can track the presence of animals by their heat. Are we warm?
Moving on.
Sorry.
Anyway, I look as cute as a snake can look.
Which is super cute.
Yep.
I now know how to find my light as a snake.
The guard of you, again, looks over his shoulder and says something to his fellow guards. And he raises his weapon and shield and he says,
I take you to speak with Father Gortak and my...
He doesn't really know the word for associates, but he just sort of gestures towards them.
Friend?
And then I nod.
And like
Friend, yes, my friends wait here for your druids.
Can I real quick do a perception check or something to figure out either their accent or their like... You know, language.
You want to do, like, insight?
Yeah. Just to kind of figure out what their language was, or, like, if I can.
Definitely none of you have ever heard their language. Okay. But, well, maybe Tinsy has heard her dwarven friend, mm-hmm. like, speak a few phrases in dwarven before. Mm. You're pretty sure that's what the language is. Or she is pretty sure that's what the language is.
But. Okay, then never mind.
I look over at you guys. Should we have one of us wait here, or should we all go?
The squirrel's gonna come back.
It's hard to say how long it'll take, though, especially because, you know, there's a lot of, you don't know if Alpha and company are back yet. There's other animals like deer, which will have a very hard time getting through the collapse. So it could be some time.
Do any of you have anything to write on?
I have my journal.
Maybe for, like, a note? Like, I can't write, but...
I have my journal, but I'm a snake.
Should we ask if they can help bring them here instead?
Wow, look at you thinking with your brain.
Or should we go first and then ask for their help if we're like, okay, these guys are safe?
Do you think they'll attack us if we start to run?
I mean, it might cheer up Zealous if they do.
She just starts nodding.
That's fair.
Snacks. I can make a snack out of anything.
Okay, so we should leave a message, go with them, and then ask for their help?
After we find out whether or not they're going to hurt us and all of our
friends. The guard up there is looking like he's starting to get impatient, though.
I drop my snake form.
He, like, jumps and, like, points the staff back at you again, but...
But when I drop my snake form, can it be so that, like, I majestically, like, toss my hair away? And I'm like, hey, what's up? I'm Feral.
Can you do a charisma roll for me?
Oh, yeah. I'm really good at that.
Are you, though?
Yes, my charisma is +2.
Cool.
So it's okay. Please.
Critical fail!
No. Oh no!
No!
You're gonna like slap yourself in the face or something.
Yeah. So Feral, like,
how do I embarrass myself?
So she turns, goes back into her half elf form, and you can tell by the way that her arms are like fanning outwards and like gracefully moving up that she's trying to make this look as cool as possible. But as she stands, her head just hits like a rock on like on the ceiling above her, and she like sort of just like crumples to the ground.
She doesn't take damage, does she?
Oh, does she take damage?
Do I take damage?
No.
Okay.
Oh, just to your dignity.
Oh, of course.
As that happens, Tinty just points at Feral, goes, Druid!
No.
Definitely Druid.
Oh. And then Tinty just solemnly, like, nods her head.
I can't see. I think I still have scales in my eyes. I heard.
Just shed them!
All right, well,
I write a message, or I give, at least I give my journal to someone to write a message. Tinsy can write.
Oh, okay, I'm pretty sure. Wait, what am I writing?
Like, the guard seems to want you to come now.
Okay. I will scribble something really quick then. I'm suddenly fine. I didn't hit my head that hard.
I'm going to leave the owlbear feather that I had plucked from the owlbear with the note. So that they know it's from us.
Okay, yeah, you liked to show off that owlbear feather while you guys were traveling, so everyone will know whose owlbear feather that is.
That's true.
A note I left is something like, hey, we'll be back. We found something, and it's really cool, but just hang on, okay? Love you. XO.
All right, so you guys are going to follow the guard up?
Yeah.
All right. As you guys climb up the stairs, you are greeted with a sight that is not at all what you were expecting. You see a huge industrial-looking campus, which is illuminated by the trees hanging from the cavern ceiling high above, and each leaf is still casting that like pale glow like moonlight. And apart from the trees high above, though, far out of reach, you don't see a single plant anywhere. This seems to be a place of iron, stone, and machine, with cobblestone roads connecting the various buildings all over the place, which all feature very angular, geometric architecture. You turn around, and behind you, right next to the hole where you came out, you see, in the dead center of this huge industrial campus, this big statue that's right behind you is towering far, far above you, and it's a very striking Era Cochran woman.
Oh, no.
Oh, fuck.
The metal plate that was removed seems to be one of 8 metal plates around the statue. The statue's set in the center of this large metallic octagonal platform. And on each corner of the octagon, there is a much smaller, subdued-looking statue, each of which features a member of a flightless race. You see a human and a dwarf and an elf and a few other races you don't recognize as well. They all seem to have thrown themselves down to the ground in supplication to this Arakocra's glory.
Oh, fuck.
Tinsy and Feral, can I get you to roll history?
Yes.
Oh. Wait, can we see what was the one that was on ours?
Closest to you, there's a statue of a gnome and another race you don't recognize.
I got 12 plus 1.
Shit. 3 plus 2.
Tinsy, you think back, like, you recognize this woman, you're pretty sure, and you rack your brain, and the pieces start slowly coming together. You remember in one of the books that Uduin had used to educate you in the time that you were living with him, he was teaching you about the Arakocran royal family. You're pretty sure that this is Queen Lith Immorta, who, if you recall correctly, would have been queen around the time that you were a child, but she has since passed.
Oh my gosh. Guys! I think that's the former queen.
Oh.
What?
The guards begin leading you down this one cobblestone road and towards a long, towering reddish wall made of metal, which stands on one end of the industrial encampment, and its tops are lined with spiked battlements, and its sides are decorated with complex geometric patterns. And in the center of the wall, there stands an imposing metal fortress, which features a large stained glass window, which could be easily seen from anywhere in the campus, and it bears the same crest as the guards' tunics and shields. You're led up the stairs and through one of three large doors, which all seem to lead into the same antechamber. The grand hall inside is a breathtaking masterwork of dwarven craftsmanship. The geometric aesthetic from outside is continued in the chamber's marble and iron structures. The doors that you've just passed through appear to be mirrored on the far end of the hall. In the center, between the two ends, the hall opens up into a large round area with a high domed ceiling and raised wooden benches, seemingly intended for several dozen people, facing inwards. And in the center of the circle is a large pillar which holds up a round dais several yards above. The dais is connected by marble catwalks to a balcony which runs around the full perimeter of the grand hall. As the guards lead you inwards towards the dais, a side door on the upper level opens, and out steps an opulently clad dwarven man, flanked by a bodyguard on either side. And the bodyguards look similar to the other guards that you've seen around, but you can tell that they are probably higher ranking. They have sort of golden-looking armor, and they have helmets that obscure their entire face. He crosses the marble catwalk with slow, graceful movements, and he assumes his position on a raised altar in the center of the dais, where anyone seated in the benches would have an excellent view of him, and he turns to face your group.
I try to look very friendly.
All right.
And like, calm. Oh. And, like, pretty.
And pretty.
He hasn't quite looked down at you quite yet. Without looking at you, actually, the dwarven man turns his face upwards, closing his eyes and humming. The sound is amplified as it reverberates against the domed ceiling, and his voice seems to be surrounding you on all sides. The guards join him in the humming as he extends his arms slowly outwards, raising them up until they reach towards whatever invisible entity he's venerating above him.
I didn't expect this.
Blessed is the one who turns their face to the spire's crown and accepts their gifts without fear. In response, the guards chant in a chorus. The world spire changes, and now so must we all.
Oh no.
The man brings his hands together, then moves them slowly down across his face and chest till he holds them in front of his stomach. Blessed is the one who would take these gifts into their body and become one with the spire's grand design. The world spire changes, and now so must we all.
Oh, no.
The man's hands part, and with open palms, he slowly extends them downwards and outwards. Blessed is the one who nourishes the spire, giving themselves as a gift in return, and accompanying it to the next life. The world spire changes, and now so must we all.
We walked into a cult.
Mm-hmm. Zelos kind of like turns to you guys and whispers like, I don't know if they're going to be friends.
Not friends. No.
Finally, the dwarven man lowers his head and opens his eyes, looking to your group with a smile. His face is old, dry, and wrinkled, with out-of-control bushy eyebrows and ear hair. All the same, he manages to look very impressive, with a huge, immaculately braided beard spilling out over his embroidered robes and his golden scale mail armor. He wears a large warhammer and shield on his back and a crossbow at his hip. Atop his head, he wears a golden crown with 8 spires extending upwards around its sides. His eyes move over each of you, and he finally addresses you.
Welcome, druids, to the Circle of the Deep Woods.
God,
we fucked up.
Oh, damn.